Some of you remember particular meals that you've had throughout your life. The meal may have taken place years ago. It may be a distant childhood memory, but for some reason, it sticks in your mind. It may be a homecoming feast, a holiday meal, or a family reunion where great cooks collaborate to grace a table with the finest of culinary delights. Whatever the occasion, there are some meals that just stick in your mind. I remember the first meal I had with my wife's family. So here I was, this Scandinavian introvert, seated around a table with a family of Italians, aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, parents. So imagine a scene out of the movie, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, and there you have it. It seems like most of the people at the table were talking non-stop with their hands and arms moving. You know what they say, Italians can't talk without their hands. Sometimes they seem to be having a heated argument with each other. A couple of minutes later, the same people would be laughing loudly like they were best friends all over again. It was stimulation overload for me, and I was a bit shell-shocked. I'm sure I just sat there wide-eyed, trying to make sense of everything. I remember getting up from the table a couple of times, pretending I had to use the bathroom so I could go sit alone by myself for a moment to collect my thoughts, take a few deep breaths, and prepare myself to enter back into the fray. I know my wife had the opposite experience in her first meal with my family. She remembers being her gregarious self, doing most of the talking while the rest of us were all just so quiet. And she started to get the feeling that because we were all so quiet, that something was wrong and that maybe my family didn't like her. She didn't realize that for us, this was something new. It was like a breath of fresh air, and we were all just trying to take it in. Another meal that I remember distinctly is the meal that we had at our son Peter's first birthday party. Of course, I didn't know it at that time, but that would be the last time that I saw my maternal grandfather. He was present at so many celebrations throughout my life, birthdays, graduations, my wedding ceremony. He was one of the greatest influences on my life, the kind of grandfather that you dream about having. Little did I know that a few months later he'd be killed in a tractor accident. And it seems like I can still taste the birthday cake and ice cream from what would be my last supper with my grandfather, a meal and a moment that are now seared in my memory. Thinking of certain meals can bring back powerful memories, even emotions. When we think of Holy Communion, we don't think of it as in the sense of a meal having an appetizer, a main course, a dessert, and a drink. This meal is different in that it's truly meant to be a memorable meal. And when we partake of it, it should stir emotions in us and cause us to remember some things. Jesus told his disciples to take part in this supper in remembrance of him and what he would do for them. They had no idea that in this meal, like the last meal any of us have with a loved one, that it would later mean so much to them. It was not until Jesus was crucified and resurrected that they would know the full impact of this meal they observed with Jesus before his crucifixion. Today, the Last Supper might be the most famous supper in history. When you think of the Last Supper, it may conjure up images of that painting by Da Vinci. I wish I had a slide to show it tonight. but it's it has Jesus and his disciples sitting on one side of the table, and you look at it, and it seems strange. It's like, what's up with that? It's almost like they're watching a big game on a big screen TV together. In this Da Vinci painting, the disciples are all looking around in anguished disbelief because the painting captures that exact moment in time when Jesus tells them something that cuts them to the heart. He tells them that one of them sitting at this table would betray him. And that supper, that last supper with him, must have been seared into their memories. And there's more than one memory of the Last Supper. Each of the four Gospels tells it a little bit differently. John shares a completely different story than Matthew. There's no mention of bread and a cup. The story John tells is that after supper, Jesus gets up from the table, wraps a towel around his waist, and one by one, he washes his disciples' feet. One meal, but different memories. Meals can make for lasting memories, and the Last Supper is not the only memory of a meal in the Gospels. In the Gospels, Jesus so often seems to be on his way to supper, eating supper, or leaving from supper. That's how so many people remembered him. So what are important meals that have been seared into your memory? Years after your wedding reception, can you still taste the cake? Was the entree chicken or beef? Did your wife know that you didn't like asparagus, so she made sure to have carrots for you on your plate? You close your eyes and you can still smell the bread that your mom baked. Thanksgiving dinner, Christmas dinner. Maybe you can even still see the faces around the table. Meals in our lives live on in our memories in ways that many other things do not, because they combine those human elements of taste and texture and smell and relationships and conversations, all of those things that go into making us human. So is it any wonder that one of our central sacraments takes place at a table? Is it any wonder that the supper the disciples remembered most was the one that was full of the most emotion, the last? Author Rodney Clapp says that one of the key questions to ask about a meal is this: who eats with whom? Who do you typically eat with? We tend, like the kids said, to eat mostly with our families, of course, or other people who are close to us. We tend to eat with people who come from the same educational and economical backgrounds, people we feel comfortable with. And our everyday meals often sort us out by social status. Can we afford to buy meals at Whole Foods? Or does our budget send us to Aldi? Can you afford to eat in a restaurant that others can only look through the window? But if we ask that question of Jesus, who eats with whom, there's no way to pin down Jesus' social network. He's completely unconcerned about status or his public image. He seeks people out that others would go to lengths to avoid. When's the last time you shared a meal with a prostitute? When's the last time you sat down for a meal with a notorious thief? Jesus did those things. At the Last Supper, though, he's among friends. His disciples are there. And although they're not mentioned at the Last Supper, I imagine that those women who were always traveling with Jesus were probably there too. The Passover meal was a family gathering. And these people were his chosen family, this whole ragtag bunch of men and women, people he called brothers and sisters. And they would have all dined together, I imagine, with him that night. But when we come to the Last Supper, we find that Jesus' chosen family is just as dysfunctional as many of our own families. It was capable, yes, of deep love, but it was also capable of causing incredible pain. Judas, the betrayer, is there, dipping his hand into the bowl. Peter, the one who would deny Jesus, is drinking from that same cup. And the 10 other disciples around him, the ones that he called brothers, his closest friends, his family, the ones he should have been able to count on to stand by him. Well, by the end of the night, we know that they had completely fled, leaving him totally alone. That's the kind of crowd that Jesus has supper with. These are the kinds of people that Jesus calls family, brothers. And I think he knows everything about how they will deeply fail them. Yet he still loves them. He still feeds them. He forgives them, in spite of the fact that I'm sure he knows what's about to unfold. So Jesus takes a loaf of bread. He says an ancient blessing. He breaks the bread and he says, "Take and eat. This is my body." He takes the cup and he says, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood poured out for your forgiveness." And he says this to all of us. All of you, take and eat. All of you, take and drink. All of you. Judas, Peter, betrayer, denier, doubter, all of you. All of you, drink deeply. I love you. I forgive you. You may not be welcome anywhere else, but you're welcome at my table. Thanks be to God.